What's up, Bulls Nation? You found yourselves locked on Bulls. I'm Matt. That's Big Dave. Up ahead on today's program, this is a safe space, y'all. A safe space. Brutal news, Lonzo Ball opting to have knee surgery. 6 to 8 weeks is the recovery timeline. We will talk about everything that that means for Lonzo and the Bulls moving forward. And then we'll wrap things up with a quick look at Bulls Bucks, which we got on deck Friday night. That's all ahead on a fresh Locked On Bulls. Let's go.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Big Dave Watson at BAW, B-A-W-L Sports. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on that text and voicemail line as well, 331-979-1369. Happy Friday, y'all. Hopefully you are doing okay despite the bad news that came down Thursday, that the Bulls will be without the services of one Lonzo Ball for the next 6 to 8 weeks. This was the cherry on top of the shit Sunday of my day that I did not need, Big Dave. I did not need it. I didn't need it. I've had a day. I won't say who they are in case they happen to be a sponsor one day. Let's just say a certain cell phone provider really pissed me off today with their incompetence, and I have had it up to here, and I need you to talk me off the ledge. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I know my role well. I know what I'm supposed to do here. I've spent many a day, many over these low years that talking you off many a ledge. So yeah, it's just par for the course now, Matt, but I'm here and happy to do it as always, my friend.
I appreciate that. So, okay, here's the context. Lonzo has missed the last three Bulls games. It happened last Friday against the Warriors where he started noticing something bugging him with his knee. Maybe he was playing through it a little bit. And originally, we thought it was, the first report we got was a light bone bruise in his knee, and they were going to reevaluate where they were going to do treatment. And then the Bulls said, we're actually going to switch up the kind of treatment that we're giving Lonzo and see if that helps before we get to that final decision of surgery is the thing that has to fix this. That is the news that dropped on Thursday. The Bulls official release from Bulls PR stated the following. Following an initial period of rest and targeted intervention, Bulls guard Lonzo Ball will undergo arthroscopic surgery on his left knee and is expected to return in 6 to 8 weeks. I like that phrase, targeted intervention. It's like, hey, Lonzo's knee, you have to address the problem and admit you have a problem before we can all start helping you recover from this problem. I'm Lonzo Ball's knee, and and I have a drug problem. I mean, I have a ligament problem. I have a meniscus problem. Knee. Hi, Lonzo Ball's knee. Oh my goodness!
Oh man, it's something, Matt. It's something. It's a thing. Before I get into the talking people off the ledge part of this, let's deal with the reality of the situation. It sucks. It's not good. It's not ideal. Lonzo, who was just having a great season for the Chicago Bulls, you watched his impact, Matt, many a night on both ends of the floor. I've seen him help the Bulls win the game. Offensively, I've seen him help the Bulls win the game defensively. Seen him do it both ways. His passing has been invaluable. I remember early on talking about how I had yet to see him throw a bad pass early on in the season. I'm just automatically flashing back to that length of the court Tom Brady-esque pass that he threw to Zach LaVine, who came out with that 360 dunk. Like, he just has done so many wonderful things, man, guarding everybody on the floor on the opposing team, switching off everyone, man. He was just like a house on fire when he's switching and getting around to everyone, using his 6'6 frame to create all kinds of havoc and problems. And then when he and Caruso got in the game, it was just lockdown city for whoever their backcourt perimeter guys were. And then on top of that, he's shooting 42% from the three-point line. So he's a guy that we rely on his three-point shooting to get us going. Seen him win a game with a three-point shot against the Nets in Brooklyn. So he's been great. He's been awesome to have. And after him being out for so many games, for him to come back just for a couple, and then he's right back out. Yeah, it sucks, man. It definitely sucks.
So a little more in-depth info on what exactly might be going on with Lonzo. This came from Jeff Stotts, who is certified athletic trainer and injury analyst on Twitter. You can follow him at In Street Clothes if you want. But a few people found this when he had his thoughts on Lonzo Ball to share. So this is what he said. Meniscus injuries are like real estate. It's all about location. If the tear occurs in a specific spot, then it can be repaired. If not, the meniscectomy, which is the removal, is the best course of action if the issue is functionally limiting. The fact that the injury is being described as small hints it's in the outer portion of the meniscus. Pair this with the report from Sham Sharania that recovery following a potential surgery would only cost him several weeks. It's likely Ball is considering a meniscectomy. However, Ball does have history here previously undergoing surgery to address a meniscus tear in the same knee. He underwent surgery in the summer of 2018, but was ready for opening night of the 18-19 season. The timeline for that injury suggests a meniscectomy. Multiple meniscectomies can result in an increased risk for future issues like osteoarthritis, as the shock-absorbing cartilage is no longer present in the joint. For more information, he sends a link there at the end of that thread. So there's everything you want to know about meniscus and meniscus injuries. So what I am seeing here from this 6 to 8 week timeline, Big Dave, is that what in fact they are opting to do, and this is just my educated guess based on what we've seen and what we know, that instead of the meniscectomy, which is to just shave off a portion of the damaged meniscus, they are going in and trying to repair it, which is the better result long term for an athlete, a professional athlete, but takes longer to recover. That's what I think I am doing reading the tea leaves here.
Yeah. It's going to take a while. And I understood why they were taking his time, because that was a great point I thought that he made in there, that there could be damage for him down the road. And of course, Matt, when you hear stuff like that, immediately you start thinking about what Derrick Rose said about him being able to still be able to walk, you know, with his family. That was the immediate flashback. When any kind of knee injury happens in Chicago to any player, that's the immediate flashback. But yeah, that's what I thought of when I first heard and I read that. And I was like, yeah, I understand why he's taking his time and weighing his options about what he wants to do. But I agree with you. Like when you were saying, yeah, this is probably the best viable option for him to go ahead and do this. I think he realized that as well. 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah, it's a nice length of time. It's a nice chunk of time to be without the point guard that you brought in this year, you know what I'm saying, to help lead your team, you know, and he's been doing that for the Chicago Bulls. He's been, like I said, just stated earlier, he's been invaluable for what they're doing. But right now it's about his health and him being able to walk and him being not having those issues down the line. He's a very young man. Like, I don't want people to forget how young this dude is, man. This is a young dude working on his second knee surgery, man, on the same knee. So, I can understand the apprehension. You know what I'm saying? Just wanting to, you know, check all the boxes, you know what I'm saying? Cross all the T's and dot all the I's before he goes ahead and says, okay, I'll go under the knife again. So it's a lot that goes into that. I am happy it's a small tear, and I am happy that it's something that he can recover from this season.
And even once we got the 6 to 8 week timeline, as opposed to what we originally heard, which was 4 to 6,
right?
You know, then instead of like, okay, he should be good to go after the All-Star break or shortly thereafter, now you're talking about this recovery maybe going into the middle of March, late March. Mm-hmm. And at that point, your biggest concern and your primary hope, if you're a Bulls fan, if you are the Bulls, if you are Lonzo, is that he can maybe get at least a handful of regular season games under his belt coming back from this to knock off the rust, to get his conditioning back, while also the Bulls as a unit get used to Lonzo being back into the rotation, and getting some of that team chemistry back with Lonzo as a primary player and a starter before you hit your first playoff series. So obviously nothing but positive thoughts and good vibes sending Lonzo Ball's way as he goes through this surgery. And hopefully the Bulls can hold down the fort while he is recovering. And speaking of that, that's what we're going to talk about next. What exactly Billy Donovan and the Bulls do with this extended absence of Lonzo Ball, what the rotation looks like, who's picking up those minutes, et cetera, et cetera. So we will do that next. But first, today's episode brought to you by who else? Bet Online, who would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all sports wagering action in 2022. With a new year comes a new updated desktop and mobile website. So sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. Just use promo code Locked On to get started. We got NFL playoffs coming up again this weekend. Go Niners! Basketball, woo! Hockey, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available in 2022. Bet online. It's the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. Bet online. It's where the game starts. And don't forget that promo code Locked On for 50% off at sign up. All right. The good news here, the silver lining of the cloud, if you want to say it that way, Big Dave, is that Ayo Dosunmu and Kobe White, we talked about them after the win over the Cavs, have been balling. You know, no pun intended, as we talk about the absence of Lonzo Ball. Here's the last three games in which they have both played roles as starters for Billy Donovan. Ayo, 18 points, 5.7 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 2 turnovers, 39 minutes, averaging 76.7% shooting from the field. Kobe White, not too shabby himself, 17 points per game, 4.3 boards, 4.3 assists, 1.3 steals, only 1 turnover in just over 36 minutes per game. Those numbers coming to us complimentary of the one, the only, KC Johnson. So that is the good news. The Bulls have depth upon depth upon depth at the guard spot. And a lot of the Bulls guards, whether it be Kobe or Ayo or Alex Caruso or Zach, can handle on and off ball duties. They can play point guard. They can play off guard. With Lonzo now on the shelf for a while, it gives Ayo and Kobe an opportunity and even a larger, more expansive opportunity, Dave, to build off of what we've seen them doing already, growing their games, growing the confidence in their games, so that when Lonzo's back in the fold and maybe their roles are reduced even just a little bit, they are ready and confident, and the Bulls are that much more of a lethal team come playoff time.
Absolutely true, Matt. And honestly, when I heard the injury, I said I didn't even really get truly upset. I was just more sad for Lonzo having to be out. But as far as the team, I was like, oh, no, they'll be fine. Because I immediately was like, oh, Ayo's, we got Ayo. All right, yeah, we good. Yeah, let's keep it moving. Like, it's all right. Let's keep doing what we've been doing. Because you're not thrusting him in now and saying, okay, let's see if you could do it. We've already been seeing that he can do it because he's been starting as the point guard. We've been watching it. We're like, yeah, he can do it, and not only do it, like do it well, like do it at a pretty high clip. You know what I mean? And that's what's encouraging about it. So having him and Kobe White, who also can run the point guard position if need be, he'll probably definitely be playing more of the two. But I'm just thinking of when Zach comes back and things like that. You might cheat with him sometimes, some games at the one. You know what I'm saying? You could change, you know, responsibilities between he, Ayo, and Caruso. Whatever you want to do. Billy Donovan loves the three-guard lineup, so I'm sure he'll figure that out. But, man, I was like, we're going to be okay. Because if there's one position we were going to be okay at, it was going to be the backcourt. You know, those guard positions, Matt. It was the front court that we had issues with. We're like, we can't really lose any depth here. You know, right. We need a power forward. You know, losing Patrick Williams kind of sent everything into a tizzy. But losing a guard, but even though a guard that's as important as Lonzo is, knowing we got Ayo back there, who has just been absolutely incredible for the Chicago Bulls. You heard Matt just read the numbers. Those are ridiculous. Those are not normal. He's a rookie. Shouldn't be on that, but he is. And then Kobe White, who has just been smooth as silk, man. Fire and ice have been doing their thing for the Chicago Bulls, and I expect that to continue. And now, Matt, this just really makes your bench better come playoff time, because now they get all this experience and all this time to grow that they can take and put in their knowledge bag. So when they come off that bench ready to perform in them playoffs, it's going to be a good one, baby. Oh, right. Come on, Bulls fans. Get excited about it. It's all right. It's all right.
So when the way that I'm looking at this, you know, making up for the absence of Lonzo Ball and what exactly it is that he provides. When you think of Lonzo Ball, what do you think of? You obviously think the basketball IQ and the amazing court vision. That is something that really cannot be replaced at Lonzo's level. You're just going to be without that for 6 to 8 weeks, and that sucks. But then you just think about his play in transition, both offensively and defensively. His transition play is very solid. We have seen Kobe and Ayo both hold their own and improve in transition basketball Io halfway through a rookie season, and Kobe certainly this year compared to two seasons prior. I think both of their games are close in just like whether it's offensive transition opportunities or getting back on transition defense, they're both capable in that regard. Then what else do you think of with Lonzo? You think about the shooting, the lethal three-point shooting that he has turned into a valuable part of his game. Our pal Darnell Mayberry covers the Bulls for The Athletic, had this tweet on Thursday that I thought made me feel a little better. Lonzo's strengths that the Bulls can be able to absorb, three-point shooting. Kobe has made 47% from three on 6.5 attempts per game over his past 15 games, eight of which he has been in the starting lineup. Ayo Dosunmu has hit 51.7% from three on a smaller dose, just 2.1 attempts per game over his past 14 games. So that three-point shooting between Kobe and Ayo, you can make up for Lonzo not being there. Now, it is true that the Bulls are one of the lowest volume three-point shooting teams in the NBA. I know you were talking about that with Danny Parker's on The Score earlier this week. But they have, last I checked, the highest percentage and three-point percentage makes. Where do you see that absence of Lonzo's three-point shooting, but this very strong three-point shooting we're getting from Kobe and Ayo playing out, and whether or not the Bulls might need three-point shooting from somewhere else, Dave?
Oh, that's a good question. See, because it's interesting, because with Lonzo, he was very good at knowing when to take those threes. As far as when there was a run on the other team or there was just a lull or something, he knew when to pop it. It didn't matter if it was the first shot of the game or if it was the last shot of the game. He knew exactly when to take that three-point shot. The difference, I think, Matt, is that's all Lonzo would take. Lonzo was only taking three-point shots. If he went 5 of 8, that means he went 5 of 8 from the three-point line. That's right. You know what I mean?
Or and maybe 5 of 9 with a mid-range jumper that came nowhere close.
Be nice.
6 true, 10. But be nice. 10. He got an alley-oop dunk. Got an alley-oop dunk. Man,
he can do that. He can definitely do that. That is true. He can definitely do that, man. But I think with Ayo, what I do like about him is, like I said on the last show, one, he hits those timeout threes. And two, if you notice, Matt, when he takes those threes, it's usually in the fourth quarter. And it's usually when they need them. You know what I mean? It's like they got to have those threes. Because he had 12 points going in to that fourth quarter. I remember it. He had 12. And I was like, oh, that's a cool game. He had 12. Back-to-back threes immediately. Immediately from Ayo, man. And Kobe, I don't even have to talk about it. You know Kobe's going to shoot. You know he's going to put the ball into the bucket. That's just kind of what he does. So in that sense, I don't worry about the three-point shooting. Because Kobe is going to take enough for everybody, and Ayo is going to hit enough to continue to keep the thing rolling.
Yeah, I mean, if the Bulls can win being a low-volume three-point shooting team, I'm okay with that. If Kobe and or Ayo can pick up the slack of Lonzo's three-point shot-making not being there, I'm okay with that. We'll see. You know, because I'm sure that there are going to be some nights when the Bulls are just cold. But Lonzo had nights when he was cold from behind the three-point line.
So for sure.
The other thing that I think, you know, so I talk about Lonzo's three-point shooting. You're going to miss that. His basketball IQ and court vision, no replacing that. The transition on either end, I feel fairly comfortable that Kobe and Ayo could both hold their own when it comes to the way they play transition basketball compared to the way Lonzo does. Half court defensive basketball. Lonzo is an incredible on-ball defender, point of attack defender, and an incredible weak side defender, an incredible help defender.
True.
Kobe and Ayo are both showing us that they've got some more defensive chops than when it comes to Kobe, what we have seen in seasons past, and with Ayo, more than we anticipated from a second-round rookie draft pick being thrust into all of these minutes in a starter's role. Do you feel as comfortable about Kobe and Ayo being able to continue this defensive, you know, awakening that they are both having, where Billy Donovan is giving Ayo these incredibly difficult defensive assignments on a nightly basis? We're seeing Kobe White play better on ball defense, play better help defense. They are, I would not put either of them at the level of Lonzo Ball when it comes to half court defense. But again, like transition, maybe not that far off. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I feel good about this. More so than the offense is concerned. And also with the 3-point shooting, I forgot to mention the legend Matt Thomas is there also. So you got 3-point shooting, all right? You're going to be okay. But as far as the defense is concerned, Matt,
mute button it's the one area.
It's the one area I'm really, truly not concerned at all about. Now, of course, I'm not saying Ayo is a better defender than Lonzo. Lonzo was first team all defense. Honestly, that's what it was. He was first team all
defense. On track to be first team all defense until this injury.
Really, man. Truly. But I have watched Ayo put some guards in jail. I've watched it. Trey Young hates him. Mm-hmm. Trey Young can't stand this dude.
Luka hates him too.
Luka can't stand him. He went 8-23 against him. Luka can't stand this dude, man. Ja Morant, I mean, he did Ja Morant stuff, but he got a steal off of Ja, and he played some solid defense against Ja Morant while being the point guard as well. Even in the game yesterday with Garland, 1-6 from the three-point line. And the threes he was taking, he could not get into rhythm. He had to shoot from way back. He had, because Ayo was not allowing it. You know what I mean? It was a really good defensive effort, I thought, by Ayo and what he's been doing. And Kobe, you already know I've been raving about his defense since November, talking about how good it's been. Just watching him also knowing when to come over with the help defense, because that's the other area that he's gotten so much better at, Matt, is knowing when to provide the help defense and not foul when he does it. So he's coming over trying to get those steals, coming over to get those, you know, blocks and everything. Again, realizing how tall he is and then using his size to be a benefit on the defensive end. And now you mentioned transition also. Ayo, outside of, you know who I think of, Matt, and maybe there's another player that does this that I just can't think of, but this is the person I think of when I see Ayo in this. I think of Dennis Rodman when he was with Detroit and kind of when he was with Chicago. When I talk about the transition, what I mean is taking that defense and immediately converting that joint into that offense immediately, like a one-man fast break. You remember how Dennis Rodman could be a one-man fast break when he makes the defensive stop, gets the ball, and he's gone, and he's faster than everybody, and he's out of there. That's what Ayo kind of reminds me of when I watch him do that, Matt, when he makes the defensive stop, and then he's the one-man fast break all by himself all the way down the court, man. He's that fast, and he's that good. So, yeah, in those areas, as far as defense, I am not concerned about the loss. Of course, it's a bigger loss with Lonzo because he's a better defender, but you guys can have, you know what I'm saying, some calm about that on the defensive end because both those guys are really good.
All right, well, that is the status as of right now. The Bulls without Lonzo Ball. Hopefully Kobe and Ayo can continue to pick up the slack and grow as young NBA players in Lonzo's absence. Get well, Lonzo. Hurry back. Yes, we'll miss Lonzo. You. All right, before we get out of here, we want to touch on this Bulls-Bucks matchup we got Friday night to kick off everybody's weekend. First Bulls-Bucks game of the season. How? We're almost all the way through January. Before we do that, Big Dave, tell the people about the Built Bars, would you?
You know you want them because they're 130 calories, they're 4 grams of sugar, they're 4 net carbs, they're 17 grams of protein, and Zach Guilford already told you what he is about. He is about that Built Bar life, and you should be too, man. Why you want to eat something that don't taste good, something that's boring? No, wouldn't you rather eat something delicious and healthy and something that's covered in 100% real chocolate? I think you do. And then you got all the flavors. You got your coconut almond, your peanut butter brownie, your raspberry, your cookies and cream, your salted caramel, your mint brownies, and of course, your flavors of the month. Matthew Peck, can you please tell them what that will be, sir?
It's one of everybody's favorites, and it's back for limited time. Coconut brownie chunk, baby.
Get that in your life. You know you want it. So this is where you go to get it. Built.com. Use this promo code LOCKED15. It'll give you 15% off of your order. That is Built.com, promo code LOCKED15 to get yourself 15% off of your order from Built Bar. Built Bar! Get you some deliciousness.
All right, moving along here, getting closer to the weekend. Last segment of our Friday episode, Bulls Bucks. Bucks coming off of a win against your boy Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, something the Bulls weren't able to do at the beginning of this week. Big Dave, we can get into matchups, but I just wanted to do something for you real quick here. I want to rattle off Giannis's stat lines over his last dozen games. Are you ready for this? I'll go as quickly as I can. This is Giannis's stat lines over the last dozen games. 36, 12, and 5, 28, 6, and 6, 33, 12, and 5, 35, 16, and 10, 31, 10, and 7, 31, 9, and 7, 43, 12, and 3, 26, 13, and 8, 20, 12, and 11, 36, and 6, 27, 6, and 6, 33, 15, and 7.
Mommy, make it stop. Make it stop.
Oh. What do you do with that? What do you do? It's hilarious to me. Once again, going back to your conversation with Parkin, shout out to all of our friends at The Score, when he was talking about the Bulls and, you know, how do you guard Giannis? And you said what I have said to anybody who says that, which is, yeah, no one can guard Giannis. All these Bulls Nobody. Fans or otherwise were like, I'm really worried about the Bulls and how they match up with he's Giannis. You can't slow him down. You can't stop him. He's a freaking freight train in human skin. it's a terrible. He's a terrible matchup for everybody. What the hell?
Yeah. I didn't know teams just had spare 7-footers athletes who can run the floor like that and defend against guys like, I didn't know they just had that on their bench waiting to guard Giannis.
50% of the teams in the NBA have like a Giannis stopper? No. Right. That doesn't
exist. It's not a thing. It's not a thing at all. Kevin Durant isn't even a Giannis stopper. He's just a Giannis scorer on the other end. He's like, well, since he's going to get 38, I'm going to go get 38. That's the way you do it. So, but we don't have that either. You know what I mean? So the two things I think the Bulls can do, Matt. One is first rely on your defensive scheme. You really can't change up your death by 1,000 cuts kind of defense. When he gets that ball, I'm going to need them to swarm. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to have to be that issue. Caruso is going to play a role in this. I guarantee you're going to see Caruso on him. It's going to happen. This is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Like, it's going to happen. But I think that you're going to have to do that. When he gets that ball, it's going to have to be a swarm city. And you got to also watch out for that transition. You know he is lurking in the transition when that ball is leaking out, man. So you got to worry about that. The other thing, the only thing we can do, guys, look, you take this hand right here, all right? And you take this hand right here. And you put them together and you get on your knees and you pray that you will not get 50 points going off you by Giannis. That's all you can do with this dude, man. He is a freak. He is called the Greek Freak for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. He is a monster.
And look, the Bucks, they had a really rough stretch between COVID and injuries, like the Bulls did, like most teams did, but they are starting to get healthy now. I think Brooke Lopez is the only Bucks player already listed as out for this game against the Bulls Friday night. They just got Drew Holiday back, a much more useful player than his brother Justin, former Bulls legend. They just got Drew Holiday back. Chris Middleton is cooking. He had like a 35-point game the other night. You know, they were without DiVincenzo for a long time earlier on this season. He's back in the fold. Our main man, Bobby Portis. Hey, yo, shout out to Bobby. I saw an awesome stat on Twitter the other day that, like, his points, numbers, and 3-point percentage, points, rebounds, and 3-point percentage that he's doing right now, only player in the NBA to be doing it right now. I forgot what the figures are, but I think it's like 15 points, 8 boards, and 42% from three.
Wow. That's impressive, man.
Bobby!
Shout out, man. We got love for him. But yeah, man, it's going to be a problem. Like, and outside of Giannis, it's just that size that you just mentioned as well. Even without Lopez, you still got other size because Middleton is huge, man. Holiday is huge. He's not small at all. That is a huge, strong guard also, man. And then also you just mentioned Bobby Portis, who, man, from the outside, his 3-point shots have been water, but he can really beat you down inside, you know, with how he plays. And I don't want to dismiss the rest of that team that they have. I forget the young shooter that they have.
Grayson Allen.
Right now. Oh, Grayson Allen. Yes. I know you don't like Grayson. He fits them perfectly.
He fits them perfectly. He's a good fit on that squad.
He's a really perfect fit for them, man. So they are going to be an issue. They're going to be a problem. I'm not going to say the Bulls can't win because, again, I think the Bulls can win any game they go into, probably except Golden State. But I think they can win any game they really go into. But it's going to take some scheming, and it's, and guys are just going to have to be on their A game. We're going to need good Vooch the entire game, like, period. Like, he's going to have to be that kind of guy for the Bulls to have this kind of chance, man. So this is a huge test. I'm glad guys are getting it. I'm glad Ayo gets this chance to have this huge test, because he's going against Jrue Holiday, man, whose game kind of mirrors him. You know, a guy who can score, but who's also a lockdown defender. And he is lockdown city kind of defender, man. So it's going to be very interesting to watch Ayo, because this is going to be a true test for the Bulls in general and for the Bulls players individually.
You know, you mentioned their size. The Bucks second in the NBA behind only Memphis in total rebounds per game this season thus far. Another area where, you know, you mentioned Grayson Allen, and he's just one of many guys. We talked about Bobby. Those Bucks can shoot. You know, Giannis kind of has flirted with that three-point shot throughout his career. I think he's shooting under 30% from three this season. But they've got shooters all over the place. The Bucks take the fourth most three-point shots per game of any team in the NBA, just shy of 40 threes per game. But for that high of a volume, they knock them down pretty well. Seventh in the NBA at 36.2% conversion rate on those 43s. So the Bulls will need to keep an eye on that perimeter and try and not leave anybody open. And again, you know, one of the players on this Bulls team that is and was so, so good at that and covering multiple guys and closeouts on shooters, Lonzo Ball, is now out. So obviously those are going to be, I think, the two big factors of this game. You know, trying to have Giannis have just an okay night where he has, you know, 27-6-6 and not a monster night. And then, you know, keep an eye on those shooters. Bulls cannot get lazy and start ball watching when they're playing off ball defense, because those Bucks shooters, and like whether it's Giannis or whether it's Holiday, whether it's Middleton, they are good at finding their shooters in quick little glimpses. They'll come off screens, they'll hang in a corner, and they get their shots off quickly. The Bucks will kill you from behind that three-point line if you let them. So, to say, the Bulls have their hands full this Friday night, Dave.
And Matt, I do not want a third straight blowout on national television. That's the other thing.
Please, no.
All right, can we get a game this time? All right, I can't take three straight blowouts on national TV against prominent teams.
Are you not counting the Memphis game as a blowout? Because I felt that was kind of blowouty.
It was, but I wasn't counting it like national television, because everybody's sitting down to watch, because it took place at like 2:30 in the afternoon.
It was on TNT on a national holiday.
I know, Matt. Can I give you something?
I was watching it. You were watching it. Pretty sure a lot of our listeners were watching it. A lot of NBA people watching it.
He's right. I can't debate it. I must accept it. We got four of them things. He's right. I can't argue it. We got four of them things under us, man. So, yeah, let's not make it a fifth one. Let's not go for fifth. I'm trying to keep it from that. Let's just look nice on ESPN.
And look, now maybe the Bulls' goals change as far as like, hey, can we hold on to the number one seed in the East for the rest of the season? That's going to be a lot harder to do with no Lonzo Ball for 2 months. That's just a fact.
That's a great point.
The Bucks and the Bulls, along with the Nets and the Heat, are all just right there. And Cleveland, who thankfully we managed to beat on Wednesday. The top of the East is now a dicey obstacle course of death, and it is a very tight race. A win against not only a division opponent, but a team that you're fighting seeding for would be huge. Because I know this is long-term, and this is down the road. Bulls fans shouldn't worry too much about it right now. But the scenario that you absolutely want to avoid is having Milwaukee and Brooklyn both ending up in your side of the bracket. If the Bulls can be one and, you know, play a 1-8 and then and avoid a Milwaukee Brooklyn 2-3 side of the that's ideal, and it's not like one game against them is going to do everything to change that, but again,
you just want to win,
and you know, the win against Cleveland was good because they were a team that was playing well and climbing the Eastern Conference standings, and like Milwaukee, a division opponent. This would be a good signature win for the Bulls, and I feel like they haven't had one in a while.
Man, it would be great, Matt. It would feel good, especially being shorthanded. It would feel really great, man. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm telling you, I can't wait. Can't wait to see this.
There we go. Well, y'all, enjoy Bulls-Bucks. Hopefully we'll enjoy it because it's a victory, and then we can come back on Monday and talk about it. That's it for this week. Thanks everybody for listening and hanging out with us all week. Just a reminder, if you aren't already, subscribe to us on YouTube. Hit that like button if you were watching today's video and enjoyed it. Helps us out. You can hit us up on Twitter at Bulls_Peck, at BAWL Sports, and at Locked On Bulls. And that text the voicemail line 331-979-1369. And don't forget to send us your screenshots of either subscribing to our YouTube channel or leaving us a 5-star review on your preferred podcast platform to enter for your chance to win that autographed Lonzo Ball. Won't that make us all feel better about Lonzo Ball being out? It'll make you feel better if we send you an autographed Lonzo Ball picture, because then you could just look at it longingly, like the Wolverine meme, and it'll be great. So, send us those submissions, and we'll probably draw a winner sometimes towards the back end of next week. So you still got time for that. Until next week, have a great weekend, Bulls Nation. For Big Dave, I'm Matt. See you right. Be good.